Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. I'm joined in the studio today by Kathleen Fox-Davies, private art consultant and an art dealer. Today we have a trio of London shows to whet your artistic appetite. First up, we'll take a look at a show of Unseen Prints by Bruce Nauman at Sims Reed Gallery. Then we'll head to a photography exhibition by Tomoko Yoneda at Grimaldi Gavin. And we'll end with a collection of drawings by American artist Ronnie Horn at Hauser and Wirth. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Hi.
We skipped through that introduction. I hope we've whetted people's appetite just by the names alone.
I hope so. It certainly has me excited.
It's star-studied, isn't it?
Yes.
Should we start off with Bruce Nauman at Sims Reed? This is a print exhibition.
It's a retrospective of the entire catalogue of this artist's printmaking work. But you need to know a little bit about Bruce Nauman, and if you don't know him, I'm shocked. He is a titan of the postmodern art world, and has really been defining and challenging contemporary art since the 1960s, when he came to be a large name,
and not something that you can put in a box that easily, not something that you can put in a frame that easily or that often. Actually, so this is quite a rare thing, isn't it? A print show, for
absolutely
him.
Not often at all. He is mostly known for his installation pieces, performance work, sculpture. These are the only two dimensional works that are actually available on the market, and it's come from a 25-year labor of love of a couple who have collected these pieces, squirreled them away, and it's the first time they've actually been seen for public consumption.
Oh, so this is a hot ticket.
This is a really hot ticket, and actually closes this coming week. So.
I like the idea. I like how, despite who you are, and no matter how important you are as a collector, you can still be described as squirreling stuff away. That's a good verb.
These definitely are. If you're looking to be able to view Bruce Nauman works, you're probably will have better luck going to some of the major museums and institutions globally. This is an incredible opportunity to walk into a very intimate space. No queues, no crowds, no boundaries keeping you from having a real immediacy with the pieces. So it's a special, unique opportunity at Sims Reed Gallery.
And can you see the DNA of Bruce Nauman's, for example, his video work or his installation pieces, some of his sculpture pieces? Can you see that in these prints?
The prints are actually a really fantastic foundation for seeing the thought processes of this artist as he makes his bigger, grander gestures in the performance pieces or the large-scale video installations. You see him playing with words and with the idea of mirroring and reversal and the contrast between the positive and the negative in really powerful static images that you don't normally get from this artist.
And it's one of those things, yeah, it's always nice to see just like a charcoal sketch by someone, by a great titan, you know, by a Renaissance artist or something like that. Actually, it's nice to see the hand of the artist, or if not even just the sort of the sensibility of the artist in some of the more simple, digestible work like this.
Exactly. These are prints, but you are actually getting the hand of the artist. He loved the immediacy of actually drawing and scraping on that lithography stone, so that it's actually his hand that's made those marks, and then it's gone into a mass printer to be a limited edition from there.
So this isn't a selling show.
It is a selling show, which is also amazing.
So the squirreling has paid off.
The squirreling has paid off. But this is a show that offers a great access point into Bruce Nauman's work. He's normally traded as a blue chip artist in either privately or at the large auction houses for unspeakable amounts. And this is a gallery you walk in, and it's very much at the entry point level for any collector.
Perfect. Well, that is Bruce Nauman. It's called Prints 1970 to 2006. It's at Sims Reed Gallery until July the 17th. That's people's call to action, right?
Absolutely.
That's a pat on the bottom to get you on your way down.
Run.
To the Sims Reed Gallery. Next, we're going to talk about Tomoko Yoneda, a Japanese photographer. The show's called Beyond Memory. This is at the Grimaldi Gavin Gallery. Kathleen, fill us in on Tomoko Yoneda.
Well, this is Tomoko Yoneda's first UK exhibition in over a decade, and it's a retrospective of sorts, different from the Bruce Nauman, because she is still quite young in her career. She's been working for 25 years, traveling across the globe, recording traces of what history left behind. So she's picking locations that have had really terrible, sometimes quite violent histories of what happened in that place. But as time has passed, the wounds have healed on the surface. She's revisiting them and capturing them as gorgeous landscapes or seascapes or interiors of buildings and public places. So as the viewer, you are approaching these works almost as if they were merely a gorgeous landscape.
They're interesting things. They have, I suppose, a hidden poignancy about them, don't they?
It's not quite so hidden because it's the caption that gives everything away. You have to have the caption to know what you're looking at. I think one of the most poignant pieces is it's an image of the sea, a beach in Brazil, and it's actually the spot where Joseph Mengele drowned. And he's a horrible character in history, and it's juxtaposed with this gorgeous scenery. And it's confusing for the viewer, I think, walking into a gallery with really visually pleasing, quite calming images, and then to be assaulted with either the memory or the history of what actually happened there.
It kind of, her work slightly reminds me of Thomas Dayman's works, where the kind of where he makes cardboard cutouts of things and then photographs them, but they're all about a place in history that was, who's a German artist that's tackled Germany's difficult 20th century history, for example, in just this way, to show how the grass can grow over the railway tracks, but the railway tracks still lay beneath, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And it's beautiful stuff. And this sort of stuff, I mean, with your art market hat on, Kathleen, is this the sort of stuff that, I mean, photography, I guess, is an easy sell because it fits above the mantelpiece sort of thing. But stuff with this sort of subtext to it, is that an easy sell?
I actually think that these pieces are. You stand in front of them and you get to bring your own interpretations in. There's a bit of the concept of memory to history.
Yeah.
There's what you know. It's not necessarily, and what you remember, it's not necessarily what truth happened. And so each person stands in front of it with their own interpretations of what's going on. And she really allows you to do that. We're coming at each piece as outsiders, just like she, a native from Japan, living and working in the United Kingdom, approaching these shared histories globally, but not actually having a stake rooted in that history for herself.
Beyond Memory is a good name for this. I guess that sums it up. That is Tomoko Yoneda at the Grimaldi Gavin Gallery until August the 7th. We're going to move on quickly because you want to talk about Ronnie Horne, I think, most of all.
I love this show.
At least in terms of you, saved the best for last. This is called Butterfly Doubt at Hauser & Wirth. I think they've used both their galleries for this show, haven't they, on Savile Row?
Yeah. They have used both the galleries in Savile Row for this this incredible exhibition. It's actually three series of work. She has the Orr series, the Hackwit, and the Remembered Words. They're very different. They all speak to each other, and they're very much from the same artist, but each one has their own exciting discoveries.
And Ronnie Horne is, again, sort of an artist with multifarious talent and interest, and she's got her fingers in a lot of pies. What does this define? What sort of stuff are we going to see? Because these are huge spaces as well, on Savile Row, the house.
These are huge spaces. The works are actually very differing sizes. So you walk into the North Gallery that holds Hackwit, and they're quite small, intimate pieces. Whereas you walk into the North Gallery where the Orr series is held, and it knocks you over. It's absolutely overwhelming and breathtaking, and you actually will stop in your tracks and take a deep breath and just take in the sight of these drawings, these sculptural drawings looming over you.
And can you define a sort of a leitmotif to Ronnie Horne's work? I mean, it's collected again. She's one of the mega sort of blue chip artists who's the name that can launch a thousand ships sort of thing. But is there a DNA between some of these very small pieces that we can see in the show and some of the big ones, the grand gestures and the minutia? What are her sort of artistic preferences? What are the themes that she riffs on?
Well, she's been working for 40 years in different medium. She's known for her drawing, her photography, even language within the works, sculpture.
Yeah, a lot of these use language and
absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely, and she's constantly playing with the themes of identity and interpretation, mirroring textual play. And a lot of it actually has to do with exploring her own identity as someone who identifies as androgynous and has never actually thought of I'm this or I'm that, being man or woman or whatever it is that she is identifying each object as. So as a viewer, she's inviting you in. She's continuing to subvert your expectations. You come into this specific series, Hackwit and Orr. There are actually two drawings that she has ripped and torn apart and then brought back together. So whether she's making them better by separating separating them and putting them back together, or she's actually fixing it, whether it's an improvement or taking apart, making it less. That's the question you stand in front of. There's a real manic nature to butterfly doubt at Hausenwirth. And you stand in front of that, constantly asking yourself the questions, and that's exactly what the artist wants. She finds the meaning in the questions.
And it's the mark of the artist, again, having made something and then ripped it up or purposefully, you know, purposefully or not. I mean, obviously purposefully, I guess it's the hand of the artist. But again, you have that hands-on thing. You
can, it's very tactile, yeah. And you stand in front of it, in front of, I was particularly taken by the Ore series. They're huge, and they have one look as you stand away from them. They're almost like lonely islands or amoebas or weather systems moving through the room, surrounded by void. But as you come closer, there's no center focus to these. There is a manic nature as your eyes are searching around, following the contours that she's created, both with the drawing, the line, the annotations, the quite haphazard, seemingly pencil marks, and the joins of where this paper has been ripped and damaged and marred and brought back together. And there's a chaos and a serene aspect to it as well, of healing, but of violence. And you're constantly being challenged by where she's demanding your eye look next.
She's the kind of artist you want to see her at work in the studio, don't you? You want to see her putting these shows together.
I definitely would.
Just the Hang actually itself would be an interesting thing, which you would have thought she's the kind of artist that would want to oversee the Hang of her own shows and would want to be there. And one of the, you know, maybe rare for a sort of top flight contemporary artist, you don't hear much from them. It's their work that does the talking with Ronnie Horne. Right?
She wants the work to do the talking. She is quite articulate in speaking about her work, but there is always a playfulness of standing back and letting the work speak for itself. From a lot of the articles that have been published recently about this specific show, you almost get a sense of quite a cheeky grin and a wiggle of the eyebrows as she's answering the questions. And I that's also what you get when you look at these works. There's a seriousness to it, but there's also a playfulness, and that's brought in with the annotations and the words that she's used. For particularly Hackwit, that entire series is putting together common phrases, the throwaway phrases that we use every day, taking them apart, piecing them back together with a different common phrase, making it almost like a childlike rhyme, where it doesn't really make sense, but at the same time, it's genius and it's gorgeous to look at.
I love the title. It sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds like something John Updike might have come up with.
Yes.
Actually, I really like that. Yeah, it's super cool. Well, that's a triple bill of marvelousness. Where did we start? Where on earth did we start? At Bruce Nauman, at Sims Reed. That one closes soon. Get there before July the 17th. Then we looked at Tomoko Yoneda at Grimaldi Gavin Gallery, and that is called Beyond Memory. That sounds fascinating as well. We ended up with Ronnie Horne. And what's the show called? Butterfly Doubt.
Butterfly Doubt.
That's another good one,
which
right?
In
another
itself
portmanteau
is a
word. Yeah, I love it. And that is on at Hauser and Wirtz HQ on Savile Row until the 25th of July. That brings us to the end of today's show. Kathleen Fox-Davies speaks brilliantly about it. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio. You've been tuned in to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for our music review with Will Hodgkinson. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.